And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I am your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. It is absolutely beautiful outside. I think it started out at 66 degrees, and by the time I drove into Jacksonville, it was a healthy 73. I don't know what the difference was from South Tyler to Jacksonville, but that was, 7 degrees. I had a woman come see me yesterday. And I know that she was saying this in jest. I don't think that she was really that serious. But she had suggested, actually, let me give you a little bit of background. She had told me that since February of this year, that out of the blue, she had a raging kidney infection. And the infection was so severe and so harsh that she had gone to the ER. And there, I think they gave her some morphine to end the pain. They gave her a very, very powerful antibiotic. And she was describing to me, I mean, she was Hispanic, so she was using the best English she had. She had a translator. But she was explaining to me that even though maybe the antibiotic had worked, because her symptoms were, better, but she had just not been the same since February. And she was expressing that she had so much continual pain now that she could never get relief. She's constantly exhausted. She feels tired all the time. She's probably quite irritable. She knows what it's like to experience stress on an ongoing basis. Now, I didn't flesh out exactly what that means to her, but not that there is a severe form of stress in her life, like there's one major event that's just wearing her out. But it was expressed that she tends to overthink and overanalyze. And she probably worries about things that, maybe nobody else would. I don't know. Such as, making the bed. But when I examined her, she just nearly came unglued when I put just slight downward pressure over the right and the left ovary. And so when I asked her about that, she said the pain is just almost unbearable. And the solution is going to be birth control pills. Now, I'm guessing she was around 40 years of age. She might have been 42, something like that. Actually, I think I'm pretty good at guessing ages. I think I'm good at guessing weights, too. If I could get a job at a carnival guessing weights, I think I could come out on top. Maybe not. But when I began to ask her about that, she was saying that this next week she had a doctor's visit with the OBGYN. And she said the only thing they're going to do is just provide me more birth control pills. That's the only play that they have. So every time she goes to the doctor, it's more of a just very brief visit, and where all the energy of the visit is around, here is your new prescription for birth control pills. Well, I asked her clearly. I said, are they working? She said, no, they're not working. So there's your answer right there. Don't you know what the definition of insanity is? It's doing the same things over and over again. Yet somehow in your mind, you start expecting some type of a different result. Well, she's not getting a result. She had so much inflammation around her kidneys and around her bladder that obviously I think this is very, very disconcerting. And I told her, I said, okay, Let me check this out. And of course, my interpretation is, one of the interpretations, that she has a continual, ongoing, low-grade kidney and bladder infection. And I'm telling you, folks, that's a deal breaker. Maybe you don't have a kidney or bladder infection, but within your own body, if you have a chronic infection of the sinuses, or one particular tooth that's gone bad, maybe it's not at the point where there's a full-blown abscess, but maybe you've got a root canal where the tooth has got a crack in it and it's lost its integrity and bacteria can freely come and go. Well, the problem is, every time those bacterial populations build up in the tooth, that stuff leaks directly in your arteries, goes to your heart, and I can tell you right now, it will wreck you. You want to have continual exhaustion and fatigue all the time? A continual low-grade infection will do that. The reason I call them low-grade is because you don't have a super high fever. Yes, if your temperature is at 105, you probably should go to the emergency room right now. That's without even me knowing what's going on with you. Well, what do you do if you don't have a 105-degree temperature? Well, maybe in your case, there will be fluctuations of your body temperature where you experience, you get hot and then you get cold and you have chills. Well, those all represent temperature fluctuations of the human body. And so if you were to listen to that, you would say, okay, what is my body trying to tell me? And that's how God designed the system. Your body gives off these signs and symptoms to warn you and to alert you that you've got a problem. Now, the question is, have we been trained to actually learn to listen to these symptoms and to deal with them when they come up? Or do we just brush them aside? Do we take something to numb our feelings or numb the pain, and thereby not truly addressing the problem? Well, I would like to encourage all of us to be in a mindset that we're going to continually learn and grow how to take care of ourselves. And yes, it's true. You may not understand what the symptoms are, but you know something is not right. And a continual infection is going to wreck you eventually. Unless something miraculous happens and your immune system is able to, sometimes I think surprisingly, turn the whole situation around and you're free from the infection. I have seen that before. But I would say if you've suffered with a problem like a kidney and bladder infection since February of this year, well, that's 6 months. You know, give or take 6 months, right? Well, that's a bad deal. And so when I examined her, I told her, I said, okay, this is the number one thing. You've got a continual low-grade infection. All our energy and weight has to go toward trying to solve this mystery. Now, in solving it, when I examined her, I determined that her body just cannot tolerate wheat. And so there's an element of faith when I mention these things, because she turned to me and said, I would rather give up my family and my home than give up wheat. And at first, I thought, is she serious? I mean, come on. No, I don't really think that she was, but I respect what she's saying. But sometimes we lack our comfort so much that we're just completely unwilling to face the pain that would lead to the healing change. Would you agree with that? My son Christopher, when he came to visit in back in the holidays around Christmas time, he left a very, very thick book. He said I could read it. I have not read it at all. And it's written by I think the guy's rather famous. I don't know that I've read any of his works at all. He's a Russian literary genius by the name of Dostoevsky. I'm sure I butchered that name. Or is it Dostoevsky? There's a V in there. What I want to do, I want to read something from you from a book by Robert Greene called War. In 1845, the writer Fyodor Dostoevsky, then 24 years of age, shook the Russian literary world with the publication of his first novel. It was called Poor Folk. I might be able to relate to that. He became the toast of St. Petersburg society. But something about his early fame seemed empty to him. He drifted in the fringes of left-wing politics, attending meetings of various socialist and radical groups. One of these groups centered on the charismatic Mikhail Petrushevsky. 3 years later, in the year 1848, revolution broke out all across Europe. Inspired by what was happening in the West, Russian radical groups like Petrievsky's, they talked about following suit, but agents of the Tsar Nicholas I had infiltrated many of these groups, and reports were written about the wild things being discussed at Petrievsky's house, including talk of inciting peasant revolts. Dostoevsky was fervent about freeing the serfs, and on April 23, 1849, he and 23 other members of the Petrievsky group were arrested. After 8 months of languishing in jail, the prisoners were awakened one cold morning and told that today they would finally hear their sentence. A few months' exile was the usual punishment for their crime. Soon, they thought their ordeal would be over. They were bundled into carriages and driven through the icy streets of St. Petersburg. Emerging from the carriages into the Simskonovsky Square, they were greeted by a priest, and behind him they could see rows of soldiers, and behind the soldiers thousands of spectators. They were led toward a scaffold covered in a black cloth at the center of the square. In front of the scaffold were three posts, and to the side was a line of carts that was laden with coffins. Well, Dostoevsky could not believe what he saw, and he thought to himself, "It is not possible they mean to execute us." He whispered this to his neighbor. They were marched off to the scaffold and placed in two lines. It was an unbelievably cold day, and the prisoners were wearing the light clothes they'd been arrested in back in April. A drum roll sounded. An officer came forward to read their sentences. "All of the accused are guilty as charged in intending to overthrow the national order, and therefore condemned to death before a firing squad." The prisoners were too stunned to speak. As the officer read out the individual charges and sentences, Dostoevsky found himself staring at the golden spire of a nearby church and at the sunlight bouncing off of it. The gleams of light disappeared as a cloud passed overhead, and the thought occurred to him that he was about to pass into darkness just as quickly and forever. Suddenly he had another thought. "If I do not die, if I am not killed, my life will suddenly seem endless, a whole eternity, each minute a century. I will take account of everything that passes. I will not waste a second of life again." The prisoners were given hooded shirts. The priest came forward to read them their last rites and hear their confessions. They said goodbye to one another. The first three to be shot were tied to the posts, and the hoods were pulled over the faces. Dostoevsky stood in the front and next to the group to go. The soldiers raised their rifles, took aim, and suddenly a carriage came galloping into the square. A man got out with an envelope, and at the last second, the Tsar commuted their death sentence. Later that morning, Dostoevsky was told of his new sentence. 4 years hard labor in Siberia, to be followed by a stint in the army. Barely affected, he wrote that day to his brother, "When I look back at the past and think of all the time I squandered in endless and in error and idleness, then my heart bleeds. Life is a gift. Every minute could have been an eternity of happiness if youth only knew. Now my life will change and I will be reborn." One of the reasons why I read that, to me, I thought that was very touching. But after visiting with so many people that are sick and just trying to get a frame of reference on what their thought process is, I think I've stumbled onto something. There's very, very few people that would walk in my office and they have any sense of urgency that they need to change anything. I think I asked an 83-year-old woman how she felt like that this health condition was going to go if she didn't change. And without missing a beat, she just kind of suggested, "Well, all the people in my, you know, family live a long time. They will live well in their 90s. And I'm thinking to myself, "Yes, but you're not in good working order. Where do you come," and I'm just talking to myself now, "where do you come up with this idea that you're going to live a long time when you're so infirmed and you're crippled and you're weak and your body has lost that vital life force and that energy?" Well, I think that there may be a time and a place when you have a health problem that it might be good just to take a look at death in the face and think about it for a while. Of course, in the age that we live in, death is kind of impossible for us to fathom, because we just don't see it. You've got to realize, though, your days are numbered. And are you going to pass through them half awake and everything you do is half-hearted, or are you going to live with a sense of urgency? Well, you know, there's nothing quite like getting a bad diagnosis from a doctor. What if the doctor contacts you and they say the results of the test are in? You have cancer. What if you've taken your mother or your father to the doctor and they said, we finally have made sense of why they're losing their mind and their memory? They have significant Alzheimer's. Well, what do you do with that? What are you going to do if you get bad news about your health? Well, what if we could reframe everything? What if this pain and suffering that you're going through right now with these health problems and maybe some other very significant issues in your life, what if we started the process of trying to learn and take action on what are we going to do to restore our very lives and our health as if your life depended on it? Well, then under those circumstances, maybe you could have ready and health again. If you want to join me on the radio, I know there's several people that have been trying to call. 903-586-5257 is the phone number. And if you want to call me and ask a question, I will be glad to push the button and get you right in. Actually, I just now pushed the button. So, yes, there is a phone line open in case you want to call. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Thanks for your phone call. How can I help you? Are you there?
Hold on. Okay.
All right, now I've got you. How can I help you, ma'am?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead and start. Let's start talking.
It's been about 7 or 8 weeks. All of a sudden, I started having extreme ear sensitivity to certain sounds, and I mean, it was driving me crazy. I had had extensive dental work, so my first thought was talk to the dentist, and he said that it was a different nerve. He referred me to an ENT. They put me on Flonase and Claritin. It has not helped at all. I went to a chiropractor. I went to acupuncture twice. I've tried to do some cleansing, and it's not going away. And it's things like I've gotten to where I put placemats all around the kitchen because I don't want to hear the dishes touch the granite.
Oh, bless your heart.
And it'll be water running in the sink.
Even that'll set you off, right?
Oh, yeah. And some people's voices, I can't talk on the phone usually. I mean, this kind of hurts.
See, all this is making sense now. Now we're on the same page from the first part of our conversation up until this point. I understand. Can I tell you just a real quick story from last week?
Sure. I heard part of last week.
Well, I don't mean the radio. I meant from my office.
Oh, okay. Well, let me say this, too. A few weeks ago, you suggested desiccated spleen for somebody, mm-hmm. and I got some of that, and the very next day, there was a change, but now my ears have gone back.
Well, which ear is most sensitive, the right or the left?
I think it's the left.
That would be my guess. The spleen is on the left side of the body. A woman came to see me, and she said, I've got this very unusual symptom and pain kind of in the temple area and above the ear. And so what do you think I'm supposed to do with that if somebody comes to see me and says, I can't figure this out. Why do I have this pain here? And so I go through the process of examining her, and when I examined her, I traced all of it back to one tooth. And I think the tooth is one that she may have had a root canal previously. If I don't get that information exactly right, please forgive me. So I said, you need to go to the dentist right now. And lo and behold, she was able to get into the dentist that very afternoon, which I said, oh my word, this is like great. And so she calls me back and she says, the dentist definitely says there's no way these symptoms in my head and the ear can even be remotely related to the tooth. I said to myself, oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he prescribed her amoxicillin because she had an infection. And I told her, I said, you need to take that. And all of a sudden now she's telling me that all these weird symptoms with her ear and the side of her head are clearing up and going away. And so you tell me, did you have all these symptoms prior to the extensive dental work or only after?
It was after, but it was like about 2 weeks after. And the dental work was, I had to have veneers put on all my teeth.
Well, I'm gonna go with you. I completely trust what you're saying. And I'm going to suggest strongly to you that most likely you've got some type of a low-grade infection, maybe even under one of the veneers. But I can understand why maybe somebody that put them on wouldn't want to take ownership of that, because that's just no fun to deal with. But your health and well-being is the greatest good.
Another factor that I probably should have mentioned to start with is I do have Hashimoto's.
Well, if you have Hashimoto's, that's an autoimmune disease where your immune system is attacking your thyroid. That weakens the body. So if I'm just very direct with you, I'm just going to tell you from my 30 years of experience, you cannot afford the luxury of putting one drop of wheat, that's W-H-E-A-T, into your mouth. If you do, you'll never get over Hashimoto's.
Well, I know that. I don't eat that.
Good. Well, we have to find a way to navigate this. And so if your symptoms begin 2 weeks after the dental work, then you've got a dental problem. You may need a second opinion. So obviously you need to have somebody listen to you, but I don't think I would cherish this great sensitivity. But I think you need to have a sense of urgency that your body's telling you, hey, something's going awry, but everything's going to drain to the left side if there's an infection under one of those veneers, or maybe in a different location. Maybe it's in the root. I don't know. Maybe in the gum line or the jaw. But this can't be hard to figure out. If you were to go to a doctor and say, could you just run some labs on me? Well, there's one marker called WBC that stands for white blood cell or white blood cell count.
Right.
If that was elevated, like 12 or 13, that would be a highly acute infection. But what if it's very low? What if it's like below 5? That would suggest some type of a chronic low-grade infection. But you've been dealing with this now for like almost 2 months, give or take, right?
Yeah.
And so if you went to a, I'm just theoretically talking off the top of my head here, but if you went to the doctor and they prescribed the antibiotic called amoxicillin, and then within 3 days you said, oh my word, all this horrible sensitivity in my ears to certain sounds is going away.
That would be wonderful.
Well, you may have to go back to the doctor and let him have a go with it.
Okay.
Because if we don't address the root cause of this, now, can I be just slightly negative for just a moment? I'm not meaning to be. If you don't get this taken care of, it may do such damage to your heart and to your brain that it's going to be hard to overcome that. So you need to strike while the iron's hot, and you really need to get after this, like Monday morning.
Okay.
It's fine with me if you call the doctor and just, you know, sometimes you have to be very firm. Even though a dentist may not, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way. Even if any physician you go to says, you know, I don't really make the connection here. I don't see if it's this nerve or that nerve. It can't be that. I just need you to trust me on this. What you're describing could cause every bit of this. You could have a low-grade infection in your teeth that's behind all this. So I'd put in the call right now and say, this is Mrs. Johnson. Get me in Monday, please.
Okay.
All right. I wish you the very best.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I think it has been studied and very well researched that in some genotypes, meaning some unique people, when they eat wheat or anything from wheat or made from wheat, and that could be beer, that could be just as simple as drinking beer. You do know that they make beer that's made of sorghum. That's not made of wheat. And so if you need beer or like it, maybe one sorghum-based beer might be an alternative instead of wheat-based. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning. Okay, mine hopefully is very simple. I have poison ivy.
Oh, yeah, that's simple, all right.
Well, I went to the doctor and they gave me steroid shot and this antibiotic or steroid pills for a week. And it dried some of it up, but it's still spreading, so the new stuff is still popping out.
Okay. You need two things. You need the blue. I don't know why I'm saying blue. That's just the image that comes to my mind, or the color that comes to my mind. You need the Blue Dawn dishwashing liquid. And wherever you have these lesions, just squirt a small amount of the Dawn dishwashing liquid on top of the lesion and let it sit for 5 minutes and then wash it off. And as soon as it's dry, cover the area with castor oil.
Okay.
And that will stop the spread. Now, I know we're not here to talk about me, but I think 3 weeks ago, I had the great opportunity to push my leg into a stinging nettle. I didn't do it on purpose. You're probably thinking I did. I can still see just the faintness because, man, it hit me. Have you ever like touched a bull nettle?
No.
Oh man, life is not worth living until you have.
I probably won't agree with that, but go ahead.
Well, it leaves its mark, but if for the poison ivy, poison ivy, the plant is going to generate these highly volatile, toxic oils. Those oils will just stay there on the skin until you can soak them up. And so, you know as well as I do that one of the things that soap does, it binds with oils so they can be removed. If you don't remove these highly volatile oils from the poison ivy, it will continue to spread, and your immune system is going to treat it just as if it's an infection, which on some level, it probably is causing all these, you know, sores to come up. Sores or not, just these areas where it's affected.
Yes.
So if you'll do those two things, you can do it frequently throughout the day, and that'll take care of it.
Well, good, because they'd give me some cream when I went back to them, but I don't know how effective that is.
Well, you tell me, is it effective?
No, I still itch.
Okay. I'm going with what you're saying then. So if you tell me every single hour of the day you're just going to put like a drop of the Dawn dishwashing liquid on the area of the lesion, leave it on there for 5 minutes, wash it off, and then once it's dry, cover it with castor oil generously. If you do that over and over again, you're going to soak all that oil up and you're going to bind it like a magnet. It'd be like iron filings or nails in the ground. The magnet will just pull them straight out.
Sounds good to me. The only thing I need to do is go buy some castor oil. The other.
Good. Then you're set. You're welcome. Thank you. I hope it works out. You'll give me some feedback, won't you?
Sure.
Thanks.
I will.
Have a good day,
you're
buddy.
Welcome.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. 5257. I just feel very, very strongly that we have been completely conditioned not to deal with health problems in a healthy way. What we've been conditioned to do is, if you got a health problem, just turn on the television. You will find out really quick that they have a drug. And the people that star in this commercial are all gorgeous and beautiful, and they're laughing and frolicking in fields of daisies, and they're taking their dogs for a walk. But I'm telling you, I don't think that's true. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning, ma'am. Thanks for your phone call.
Yeah, I was calling. I was going to ask you about infrared saunas.
Oh, man, that's my favorite topic of all time. Or one of them.
I have an infrared sauna, and I would like to know how to use this to my best ability.
Now, I realize I'm not exactly answering your question to start with, but I forget the name of the longest-playing defenseman in the National Hockey League. And I don't know if you know anything about hockey, but if you've ever been to a person that's gone to a hockey game, it has got to be the most grueling, physically active, athletic sport on the planet. See, I'm just not in the know on this, but I've had a lady recently explain that when a hockey player gets on the ice, he's off within a couple of minutes because it's 100% all in. You are completely exhausted. But this guy, and I'm so sorry I can't remember his name, but he played until he was like 47 years of age. That is just unheard of. Maybe my point is this would be like professional football or probably basketball. It's a young man's game. Because your body gets to a point where it just does not heal as fast as it used to. When I was 18, I probably had so much testosterone, I could probably go up to the average door of a house and just rip it off its hinges. Now I would need a pry bar because I don't have the level of testosterone, probably, that what I used to have. And so in your situation, you're thinking, okay, I want to know about the use of an infrared sauna. An infrared sauna, it has so many benefits. If somebody doesn't know what an infrared sauna is, you could probably Google it and look at a picture of them. But they have these, they look like black carbon fiber grid, you know, heating elements. And what they do is they emit this invisible wavelength of light. And I think what they're doing is they're just imitating that far infrared or that infrared spectrum of energy that comes from the sunshine. You know, you can feel, if I go outside and I do some yard work in a little bit, I'm going to feel the radiant energy of the sun on my skin. And so maybe I could say that East Texas is like living in an infrared sauna, but you'd have to spend time outside all day long to get the same effects. But if you have an infrared sauna, you could just turn it on, allow it to heat up. You could put your towels in there. You could drink or take plenty of cool, refreshing water, which is a must. And then you could start the process of letting the that invisible wavelength of light start penetrating your skin. Obviously, if you had an infrared sauna set up where you had complete privacy, and when I say privacy, I don't worry about chipmunks and deer if they're looking at you while you're in the sauna, but free from, you know, a neighbor, something like that. But you could go in there just with a towel or very loose clothing, and you could allow that energy to start to permeate and penetrate your skin. Now, I'm trying to think in my mind, what is the name of that enzyme? I cannot recall it. It's right there on the tip of my tongue. It'll probably come to me after I get off the phone with you. But what I want you to consider is, an infrared sauna is going to be a form of stress upon your body. I don't know how you feel about this, but in our present world that we live in, everything is about comfort and feeling good. Would you agree with that?
Yep.
If you submit your body to an infrared sauna, you're agreeing to apply a thermal stressor. Of course, a thermal stressor is a heat. And when you do that, you ever heard the phrase before that says, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger?
Yes.
Well, there's some truth of that. But if you can, for a short season, submit your body to, say, 125 to 130 degrees temperature, then you can come out on the other side somehow changed and improved and better. And let me give you two examples. They took a group of middle-distance runners. I'm just going to say this is probably, what, 5 or 10K runners. And these guys were already highly professional athletes. They had crafted or they had honed their skills and they have mastered their craft of being able to run very fast over 5 to 10 kilometers. And what they did was they said, okay, we just want to see what happens. So they had them, you know, do their personal best times. And what they were looking at was one thing. They wanted to find out how long can these guys go until they get tired or fatigued. Now, you know and I know how long you and I can go before we have fatigue, right?
Right.
But these runners, they did it with a sauna and without. And they found that if they did 2 saunas, and I'm thinking it was 127 degrees Fahrenheit, just 2 different occasions in 1 week. And then they did a washout, then they had them run, and they could run for almost 35 to 37% longer. Maybe it was 34% until they reached fatigue. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, this is huge. And the other study that really impresses me is the women that had horrible fibromyalgia. Have you ever heard of somebody having a condition or a diagnosis called fibromyalgia?
Yes.
I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I mean, these people are legitimately suffering in pain and exhaustion. But they were able to talk these women who had 10 years of medical failures into getting to a sauna. Now, I'm almost positive the sauna was set somewhere around 122 or 124, so you'd agree with me. 124 degrees would be like being in Death Valley, California right now, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes.
And so these women, 6 weeks later, they did just 2 sauna sessions, and all of a sudden they reported their pain was 50% less. That's it, 2 sauna sessions. Now, if I asked you simply, do you think that when you put your body in a sauna that somehow or another your body rises to the occasion and starts a better process of detoxification and healing? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it does.
Me too. I love the use of a sauna. If you can get one for a good price, I think it's a very, very good investment. If you want to be able to function at a high level and do the Lord's work all the days of your life and be around a long time, then I think a sauna is a really good call.
How long should you be in this 120-something to 130-degree for how long?
Well, there's a lot of factors. Number one, it used to be that people were more hydrated. They were more in tune with their water levels and, you know, what their needs were because they drank water. Or they drank liquids that were based on water, like herbal tea. But today, in modern times, people drink soft drinks like there's no tomorrow, and they drink a lot of sweet tea. I know. People tell me, you got to go to Chicken Express. It's got the best sweet tea. Or they drink a lot of coffee. They actually drink, or alcohol. They drink everything but water. But the human body is just like the earth. The earth is covered 70% by water. And the human cell is supposed to be exactly 70% water for optimal function. And so every wonderful and great, perfect chemical reaction that takes place in your cells to bless you and help you, it can only take place in the presence of adequate water. And so if a person was like 65% hydrated, not good, they would not be able to stay in the sauna really long because you have these cooling mechanisms. You need water. Now, you've been in a sauna before, haven't you?
Yes.
Can you perspire?
Yes, I can.
Oh, not every woman can. And so for a lot of women, when they use a sauna, it may take almost a month of daily use before they regain that ability to start sweating. And then I would add to that better detoxification. But you agree that we live in a toxic world and there's invisible chemicals at every turn. So a sauna yes, ma'am. So a sauna would be one of those ways that you could effectively help cleanse your body of toxins. I think it's brilliant. I didn't answer the question. Please forgive me.
No.
You've got to be willing. Maybe I could say the definition of a test is doing something and seeing what the results are or see what the performance is. Obviously, there is some degree of danger involved in getting into a sauna. What if you had congestive heart failure? Or what if you had another or major system organ failure? Well, your body is not going to be as tolerant of the heat as, say, somebody that's in good radiant health. And so you're going to have to judge for yourself. If you start to feel even the least bit woozy or dizzy, you've got to get out and just sit down and drink water. I mean, but do you think of yourself as a person being very well hydrated, or do you think of yourself being dehydrated?
I'm very well hydrated. I drink water all day long.
Excellent. Well, you're probably going to be able to do it for probably 20 to 30 minutes, no problem.
Okay, and so is that at that temperature or rising to that temperature?
Can I tell you what I like? I like turning the sauna on. And I like cranking that sucker up to about 122 degrees before I even try to get in it. But I'm telling you, you will feel the heat, and it's quite radiant. But those infrared waves, they penetrate the skin by about 3 inches. And when they do that, there's definitely a very positive chemical reaction that takes place. And so there are studies that show that when you submit your body to a sauna, it greatly enhances and improves your body's production of what's called growth hormone, or human growth hormone. And in my mind, that's kind of what I think about that hockey player that made it up to age 47, just longer than anybody could ever do before. I think that he tapped into, if he did a sauna after every game, he was tapping into the ability of his body to rid itself of all the excess inflammation and to heal and repair more quickly. So if I just said it simply, that is what human growth hormone does. It repairs anything that needs to be repaired. So it's a very valuable tool, but getting into a sauna is one of the ways of doing that. And so I'm not saying that I know your mindset, but you're revealing something of yourself. You must love yourself if you're going to get in the sauna.
Well, I love the Lord, and I would like to be able to share Him more. So as long as I'm healthy, I'm able to do that.
Well, isn't that what Jesus quoted? What is the greatest command? Love the Lord with all your heart and soul and might. And what's the second greatest command?
Oh, love your neighbor.
There you go. So you figured it out. You being radiant and healthy is your ticket to continually trying to help people and trying to encourage them and lift them up. Can I tell you what I think about you and I having a conversation? I think this is good if it's beneficial to both of us. And so far, I have received immense benefit from hearing about your plan. I almost feel like I'm better off because of it. It's very inspiring. You're a woman that wants to take care of herself. This is great.
Yes, sir.
But the truth is, both of us are going to die one day, right?
Absolutely.
And if we can... Did you ever hear that quote by Theodore Roosevelt? He said, bodies will either rust out or wear out. I'm going to make sure mine wears out. Of course, you know what rusting means. That means you're sitting idle and doing nothing, and things wear out.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
Well, you know, in the real world...
I don't pick up trucks out there in the field, you know.
Exactly. If you go to church tomorrow morning and from the pulpit, a deacon gets up and he starts making announcements on who's sick, it's just a matter of time until you hear about, you know, Sister Jones or Sister Smith is going to have a knee replacement or hip replacement. And quite often that's because they have lost so much of their strength. When you lose your strength, your joints wear out very, very quickly.
Well,
would you rather use it or lose it? Let's use it.
Use it. Thank you.
So I think you've got permission to kind of experiment with the sauna. Now, I know I'm kind of adding to the equation here. I am not against salt or sodium. I am not. The world is. That ain't me. You've got to have electricity for your body to work great. If I told you that I believe that your body is one big solar-charged battery, would you agree with that?
Yes, I would.
And so, well, you're easy. But you've got to have water, and you got to have electrolytes. Just like when I was a boy, I'd go out to the gas pumps to pump gas for people that came up to the store. But I would also pop their hood, and I'd check the water levels or their battery. Oh, we don't really do that anymore. But if you're in the sauna, it would not hurt you at all to put a pinch of either Celtic salt or maybe Redmond sea salt or Himalayan salt. Just a pinch. If you add it to the water, Because when you sweat, young lady, you are going to lose your precious minerals, your electrolytes. Some of that comes. I mean, you've had a drop of sweat hit you in the corner of your mouth, and you've tasted it, haven't you?
Yes.
You're pretty salty, aren't you?
I can be.
Well, that's where things like limes and lemons and a pinch of salt can be a godsend. Or even if you had like a Concord grape juice frozen concentrate, I would so much rather people take one or two scoops of the concentrate of grape juice and put that in a quart of water with a pinch of salt than to go buy Gatorade or Powerade or whatever the stuff is called.
Really?
I mean, I'm a people watcher. So if I go to a large store that sells groceries here in Jacksonville, you could never guess the name of it. It begins with a W. But anyway, we're not here to guess that. But just the amount of sugary sports beverages that people load up on, it is unreal. I mean, they're making money hand over fist. But if you use grape juice, just a little bit of grape juice to your drinking water, that may provide you a vital life force to help strengthen the quality of your blood. I mean, forever and a day, I have read and studied that grapes are so good to strengthen a person's blood. And so if a person has kidney issues, well, you might want to limit the sauna. But you can just start attacking that sauna. Run toward it if you can. I mean, do you have the ability to do it every day for a week if you wanted to?
It's in my house.
Oh, then you have the ability to take advantage of it, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, then we're going to find out what happens. We're going to put it to the test, and you're going to tell me if you notice anything that you'd call like a benefit. And for you,
okay.
I don't think it's going to be hard for you to fill me in on what the benefits are.
Probably not.
Could you try hard not to fall asleep for like 4 hours?
Yes, I can try to do
I'm
that.
Joking. I'm sorry. Go ahead now.
Well, when you were talking about grapes, drinking grape juice and salt, would that be grape juice, water, and salt? Like
yes,
diluted?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. I just kind of, you know, just because I think I understand things in my own
mind.
I
would just clarify that.
No, that's exactly what I want. You're making kind of like your own weak grape drink Gatorade.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it made me think of that thing that you tell us to take, resveratrol.
Well, you know, in the skin of grapes, you do have that flavonoid called resveratrol. And that's been shown to be very good for your circulation and for your heart. I think I told somebody on the phone this week, he asked, is it good for pain? I said, yes. But then again, anything that improves the quality of blood flow, and if you can get more oxygen and nutrients to the cells and tissues, isn't that a home run?
It is a home run. It is a home run. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your phone call. I appreciate your call.
All right.
A good day. Bye-bye. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257 if you want to call. 903-586-5257. Now, my opinion is circulation in America is extremely poor. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Mark.
Oh, thanks for turning the radio down, buddy.
You bet. How are you doing this morning?
I am really good. Thanks for asking. How are you today?
You're doing great. Got a question. I'm experiencing skin tags under my arms, around my neck. I've tried apple cider vinegar. I've tried castor oil. I need a solution to get rid of them.
Well, two things to start before I give you a solution. Number one,
okay,
a skin tag represents your body's trying to form a growth internally, or maybe even a cancer internally. But if it can't get rid of it, it's going to push it to the outside. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So that means there's a process going on inside of your body that you've got too much inflammation. Unless we resolve the inflammation, you can't really heal skin tags. The other thing is, and this has been very well established in the medical literature, what skin tags really are is that means you're about to develop diabetes.
Okay.
And so let me tell you what I would do if it were me.
Already.
If you had Now, this is just my way of saying it. If it doesn't make sense, please ask me questions so we can clarify. There is a type of a juicer called a cold masticating juicer. To me, they're very interesting because they're so quiet and they're super easy to clean, which is a bonus. You don't know how many times a person's told me, oh, I've got a juicer, Dr. Morgan. It's lovely. It takes me 30 minutes to scrub it clean after I'm through, and I'm going, well, that's no fun. But I've timed myself over and over again, or just looking at the clock. 10 minutes start to finish. I get all the vegetables and stuff out, run them through the juicer, drink it, clean it up, wash it up. Everything's good within 10 minutes. Now, that may sound like a lot of time, but if you had maybe 2 carrots, 3 or 4 ribs of celery, 1 lemon, you could even throw a green apple in there if you wanted some flavor to it.
Okay.
And then if you were to put maybe, I'm just going to say, 1/4 to 1/3 of a fresh ginger root. Now, what you're doing is, if you make a juice out of this, it's going to be mainly green, maybe with a little layer of orange from the carrots in there. But right. What you're doing is you're drinking the blood of the plant. And so when the Bible tells us that the life is in the blood, well, I don't know that I have to completely understand all that. I just believe it and I accept it through faith. And so if you start drinking this vegetable juice every day with a little bit of fruit in it, it's going to start really cleaning your body from the inside out. And you know, you're going to be the sum total of what you do over and over and over again.
I think
I read that quote last week that action beats anxiety, work beats worry, and movement beats meditation. Now, I realize that's a secular quote, but doesn't the half-brother of Jesus, his name is James, doesn't he say, faith without works is dead? You got to have some action in there.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
If you start your day by drinking this juice, what I'm going to suggest to you, it's going to help radically start cleaning and repairing your skin. It's going to help your liver and your kidneys. It's kind of hard to have a conversation about skin tags without talking about cleaning and detoxifying the body.
Okay.
And so, if you can do that, that can be a starting point. Now, what I believe a person must avoid when they have skin tags that are growing like crazy is grain and sugar.
Okay.
And so if somebody says, I need a bowl of extra fruity Fruit Loops for breakfast, which I think I saw a person the other day that probably had a bowl of extra fruity Fruit Loops because they were pretty fruit. Never mind. But anyway, if you eat real things and put them in your body will start to obey you. It will start cleansing and healing. That's what you're telling your body when you drink that juice. I love myself. I'm trying to take good care of me so I can be a blessing to others, which I know you well enough to know. You are a very encouraging person. You're all about lifting up your fellow men and helping them. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. You got it.
And so the other thing that I'm going to have you try,
okay,
we're going to try rubbing fresh lemon juice on the skin tags. And then once it air dries, which in the heat today will take probably 1 nanosecond. I'm just joking. It's probably more like about two minutes. Once that dries, then make sure you have some very high-quality extra virgin olive oil. Extra virgin olive oil, that stuff is just so nutrient dense. It may be one of the healthiest oils on the planet. But if you'll start rubbing olive oil on the skin tags, all we can do is see if they start to fall off. I can tell you what my grandfather did.
Okay.
He was born in 1899, so you know what he did with a skin tag? He would go take a hair off a horse's tail, and like a piece of fishing line, he'd tie a knot in it and put it right around the tag and cinch that sucker up and leave it, and it would fall right off every time.
Okay, I've never heard of that before, but it makes sense.
Do you know anybody has a horse you can sneak up behind and get a donated hair?
I used to keep horses here in my house, but they...
Well, once you go look by the fence post, you probably find a horse hair still there after all these years, like on the barbed wire.
Yes, sir. Yes, I've seen that before too.
The two minerals that I probably think of the most when somebody has skin tags coming up that won't resolve is probably zinc and iodine.
Okay. I'm taking zinc, and I've used iodine. I try to use a few drops every morning in my coffee. I don't do it regularly, but I try to.
And it really doesn't have any flavor at all, does it?
No.
Now, what you're taking is the clear iodine, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Uh-huh. That sounds like a good call.
Working on it. These skin tags, they've got to go away. I'm tired of them.
Well, I agree with you. Let's make them go away.
So and go, I also go came out up to the bar.
No, I'm
I came up with a harness to use at night when I sleep to stop the open mouth breathing, and boy, am I sleeping better.
Oh, man, that's brilliant.
Yes.
Good call. So what that does, it keeps your lips and your jaw together so your mouth can't fall open and you don't mouth breathe all night long.
Right. I'm sleeping and feel much, much more relaxed in the morning and rested.
Do you think you could get your sewing machine out and sew up a bunch of those, and we'll call them Dr. Morgan's sleep cure?
I had my daughter make this one. I said, "Did you think about making me up a couple of hundred of those?" She almost fainted.
Well, I'm gonna expect at least a 90% royalty fee over this brilliant device I described to you.
I will bring you a sample.
Alrighty, that's the spirit. Hey, let me know how this works out, and keep up the good work. Never stop trying to improve yourself, but I think if you can grasp this, we can start to see a change.
Okay. The only thing I have to, the ginger root, I bought it before and I tried to use it and I wound up throwing it out. I couldn't figure out how to tolerate it,
if you run it through a juicer, that solves your problem right there. You're extracting that vital life force from the ginger, and I probably didn't hit that topic enough, but ginger is one of the greatest things of all time to try to reverse diabetes.
I know, you talk about it and talk about it, how great
so
it is.
If you run just a little bit of it through your juicer, yes, it will give that juice that you're going to drink a little bit of a bite or a punch to it. It'll make it kind of like a little bit hotter. But if you'll do that, you'll be the benefactor. You'll win.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Yay, that's the spirit.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you for your phone call. Have a good day, buddy.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye.
God bless you.
Okay. You know, every one of us is going to face issues, whether they're emotional or they're mental or they're physical. None of us are going to be escaped from pain and suffering. It's just the way it is. But I think we have the opportunity here, and you've probably heard me talk about this, a fixed mindset is not good. It's probably not complimentary to hold on to that. A fixed mindset, you say things like, this is the way that I've always been. This is the way that I'll always be. Well, there's not much wiggle room for encouraging, you know, yourself to change if you feel like, okay, I'm doomed, I can do nothing. And while we live in our lives of just complete comfort, which I sort of think that comfort is the modern religion that Americans worship today. Everybody wants to be super comfortable. Nobody wants to feel stress of any kind. But on the other hand, what if you could kind of hold in your mind and your heart that maybe you could have a growth mindset and you could start seeing that, okay, I've got some things to learn here where I could improve myself and I could get better. But yes, there's pain and suffering sometimes involved in restoring one's health. There may be some things you have to give up and let go of. And you may have to come up with some type of a plan where you literally run toward saving yourself from imminent death. Everybody has baggage, but if you want to, you can completely work through this and you can renew yourself. My name is Dr. Roy Morgan, and thank you for joining me here today this morning.